Hey, grandkids, welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 269. This is your host, Kevin. I am here with Chris Calamita. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing pretty good. Try not to giggle about 269, though. Sorry, I'm eternally 13 years old.
Well, you know, the reference has got to come up at some point, so it's good to just go ahead and get it out of the way at the top of the show, so we can just move along to you know, well, whatever, anything else, honestly, because I don't need to get into that.
No.
Thankfully, we are up at that number, though. I felt like we had slowed down there for a moment, so I'm quite happy to be getting near 300 here. We're working on that.
We gotta have something big planned. We need to have, just have a big conference call with all of us. Nelson back from the grave.
Yeah, well, that'll be an interesting one. We might be able to pull that off before the May's wedding, or after the May's wedding. After the May's wedding, so.
It should be during the. It should just be the recording of the May's wedding.
Oh.
And the reception.
Well, that knucklehead said something about recording a show when I'm down there for the wedding. I'm like, are you serious, dude? Like, it is not gonna happen. Like, unless it's us at a bar talking with a bunch of other drunk people in the background. I don't see that one happening. I said to you before we got on the air here that I was going to go ahead and start with the Michael Elgin losing the ROH title is the first topic, and you were minorly aghast at said idea just because it was an ROH story leading off a podcast.
No. I think we can get 5-10 minutes out of this top, so let's get there.
See, now you had me interested from the get-go today, honestly, when you said, oh, I think we're going to disagree on this one. I'm like, oh, okay, we should be able to fill up some decent time with this, because I was like, well, I don't know. I can't think of anything else other than at least mockery if Elgin is actually serious about trying out for a professional baseball team. Unless he has some weird extensive background in baseball that no one has noted. Like, he really could have changed his own Wikipedia page even if he had wanted to include his glamorous baseball past.
Right, yeah, but at the same time, you cannot fault a guy for actually seeking out, you know, actual gainful employment.
Yeah, I just think that it's, and that was kind of the second point of my article, honestly, was just the timing of it. To me, seems terrible. Even though I couldn't find the article, they had kind of built him up, dropped him back, built him up, dropped him back, and then finally with this one, they're ready to let him run with it, and he just is like, "Oh no, I'd rather try out for baseball." It just seems like a bad time. If he had wanted to pursue this at any other time, it makes sense, at least somewhat, to me.
Well, for my understanding of it is that he was going to drop the title by Final Battle, but he, when he mentioned in a recent interview that these were in his plans, the people at ROH got very angry at him about it and took the title off of him out of spite.
Yeah, and that's the other part that is just that I maybe let management slide a little much, because I don't know what they didn't ask. You know, if they just heard that one interview and didn't actually say anything to him, that is asinine.
I mean, it really is. ROH is not paying anyone a full-time living. The guy, you know, if he feels that, you know, ROH is never going to grow, TNA is dying, and WWE has no interest, well, he does need to... I'm happy for a guy who figures out he does need to find something else he needs to do with his life instead of being the typical indie weekend warrior. Well into his 30s or even his 40s. I don't know how old he actually is at this point.
Yeah, I do forget. Oh, crap. I was going to try and pull it up here. But, I mean, he isn't a spring chicken by any means. I do think he's in his early 30s.
Well, his former haircut is about in his 40s, but he shaved that quite a while ago.
No, it was barely. Well, I guess it has been a while since they kept him off TV for 5 weeks before putting him back on TV.
Yeah. Shows.
Yep. Oh my gosh, he's the man who has not aged.
Really?
Yeah. So, yeah, they don't have a name for him listed in, or a year of birth, listed for him in Wikipedia, which is hilarious, but somehow by the age of 16, he was a competitor on the independent circuit.
Does his Wikipedia mention anything about a high school baseball career?
No, that's kind of the funny thing. Okay, I guess it says in late 2004, and then the next date used is age 16. So, if he was, he's only 26 then?
Wow.
Roughly in that area?
I guess I feel old.
Well, I always did find it, amusing and ironic that the barber that we went to, well, he went bald, but then his son went bald when he was like 21. So yeah, he really got the bad end of the gene pool, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, I was balding in my 20s and decided to finally just lop it all off a couple of years back. So I completely sympathize.
Well, what the hell? Oh, yeah, that was funny. You had mentioned the Weekend Warrior thing because the one promotion that some of the guys from Pro Wrestling Ohio / Prime Wrestling, they went to another promotion up there in Cleveland called Absolutely Intense Wrestling. And I guess Elgin was champ up there, too.
Yeah. Elgin, I believe, was champion in about 4 or 5 different promotions. And not all, in the not too recent, not recent past, I should say.
Yeah.
His new problems now, in addition to his baseball woes, are going to keep him away from those title defenses for quite a while, it seems.
Yeah, and that one seems at least a little more in his jurisdiction to control.
Definitely.
But,
that is his job.
And this goes back to another bad management point, honestly. Like, and I did make this point, at least. I didn't know that he lost to Trevor Lee at Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. I'm sure the people at Pro Wrestling Guerrilla know it, and a couple of thousand people at best probably know it outside of that circle. But nobody cares. Like, if that was one of their reasons to strip him of the title, that is an absolutely idiotic reason to do so.
My main point that maybe I think differs with yours a little bit on this is that if ROH wants to have that kind of control over its you know, quote unquote top wrestlers, then you need to pay them a full time living wage. Then I mean, otherwise they have to travel North America, if not the world, wrestle for whatever promotions will book them, and you know, and deal with the finishes that those promotions are booking them in.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, if they did that, it would really help their promotion a lot, because people just bail all the time. And, you know, you're like, oh, I'm getting used to this guy, and then all of a sudden he's gone for a taping or two, which means he's gone for at least a month, if not two.
Well, obviously the Sinclair people are trying to run this thing as cheaply as possible, so that is where this lies. I mean, in the end of the day, the only place you're guaranteed to make a great living in this business is WWE.
Well, it sounds like TNA at least. Well, no, they have cut back, so I guess I can't really say you can go there for an easy payday anymore. They really have cut back on their pool.
And abused to the hilt, and now everyone else, well, you know, basically the wrestling business is suffering for it.
Oh. Yeah. So it's just, I don't know. Well, yeah, the visa issue is definitely his fault, but it sounds like that was an issue after the title had been taken away from him, honestly.
Oh yeah, the title had already been taken away from him, you know, seemingly out of spite by ROH officials, and then they kind of lucked out with what happened to him across the border. I mean, apparently, and I'm not saying this is necessarily what Elgin's situation was, because there might be a paperwork and flux situation going on there, but apparently a lot of Canadian wrestlers do try to do the visiting for one day trick, get in and get out, you know, without a work permit. You know, Elgin got popped, and I believe, was it one of the, I don't know if she's still a hoopla hottie, but Silesia, hasn't she also been?
Yeah, she's been on.
She could be gone for like 5 years. I think last I read something.
Oh, yeah, she was just recently back, I think. Oh, and is that why I saw a hashtag Free Solis today? Maybe.
Yeah, I believe. Yeah, I saw that too. Yeah, because I do follow AAW. I don't necessarily know people there, but I kind of do.
Right. Yeah. That's just a bitch of a trip to try and make over the weekend, although I guess I could try and pull it off sometime.
Quite a number of people are trying. We're going to do the ROH show on a Saturday night and then make it to AIW in Cleveland for a Sunday show. It's crazy to me, but I mean, I guess they're trying to do it.
Well, and there are a couple of people that were going to be there Friday and Sunday and just not Saturday.
Oh yeah, that's a pretty good jaunt.
Yeah, that's.
I don't know, Toronto. See, I'm in Detroit. That's 4 hours. Cleveland's about 3.5 to 4 hours from me. 8 hours each way. Yeah, that'd be tough to do in 3 days back and forth.
Yeah, that's a lot of driving for probably not that much money.
No. But it's for the love of the game. It's for the art, which I do respect. I will say that I do respect people who who care.
Yeah. I mean, you cannot be dedicated. You have to be dedicated to do something like that. So there is nothing wrong with that. But I think it goes to your point, though, that sometimes that's just the hard living. And maybe Elgin does have some background in baseball that would make him suited for it.
I mean, he has has to have. I mean, otherwise, where does he even get the idea? I mean, he had to have played in high school. Why would they even let or play somewhere, you know, amateur or semi-pro? Because otherwise, why would any team ever even let him through the door?
Well, and I guess that's what I don't understand. What
they can't let any average Joe off the street try out, do they?
No.
I don't know that much about the process.
No.
But I assume that's not the way it works.
Yeah. I don't even know where he starts at this point. I mean, he's not going to play in college. You know, if he had been, like, maybe a top prospect out of high school or something and he just decided to stop, maybe. But, I mean, he really would have had to have been drafted already or something like that. Like, he would have been that good, I would think, to just be able to put it down for, well, we're guessing he's about 26. So he's put down a sport for 8 years, and he thinks he's just going to get back into it. Like, I don't know. It would be really hard, you know, just, it would take a lot of practice just to get back there to that level of, to that level of quality, honestly. Like, I don't think he can just do that in one shot.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a long shot, but I mean, obviously it means something to him. I mean, if he's willing to, you know, sacrifice his wrestling career for it, so I don't. I guess he has to feel like
he can do it.
He has a talent for this. I don't know if he plays in any minor leagues or in, you know, in and around, you know, his hometown or anything, or just softball. I don't know, but he has to. I mean, I can't imagine he'd be going in without having touched a bat in, you know, over five years.
Yeah, I understand that, and I also understand that I saw some breaking news while we were away there momentarily.
Oh, really? What's the breaking news?
Sean O'Hare, dead at the age of 43.
Oh, no.
Yep. So there is that.
Well, I do not feel comfortable commenting on a story that I know absolutely nothing about, and so I guess I'll just say, wow.
Well, yeah, no, they.
I guess I'll just say, condolences to his family and friends. Wow.
Yeah, it really, there's pretty much no information on it. So it's just there. No cause of death was listed in the obituary. So there is that. So we go from that breaking news to less pressing news, which is WWE Raw.
Where do you want to start?
It still is the big news, just because, as you pointed out, if you want to make a living in the wrestling world, there is really only one place to do that.
Right. Very, very true.
Without having to drive 8 hours between events.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna guess that what are they calling themselves? The Attitude? I think Daniels and Kazarian. I'm gonna guess that they don't have their own bus like a Randy Orton or something, or someone of the sort.
My words were a guaranteed good living.
Oh.
you can, if you've got a name and if you get yourself booked, I mean, you can do well on the indies, but it's a hustle. But it's a hustle every step of the way.
Right. Okie dokie. Important clarification. Important clarification.
Indie wrestling and the convention circuit or any of that sort, but it is a 24/7 hustle at that point.
Right. Yeah. Well, we could go with that and talk about the Heyman hustle, who got to have a nice little promo with John Cena there this week on Raw.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same promo we've been hearing for 3 years about John Cena. You must embrace the hate. But it was delivered the best it's probably ever been delivered.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. I'm like, yeah, I have heard this, but that's okay. So,
And I understood Heyman's point that obviously Cena needs to man up in order to beat Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, it makes a whole lot of sense. For that to happen, but I did like I liked Cena's response for the most part, because there were no dick jokes in there, and
I mean very passionate response, a really good promo, the Make a Wish and Purple Heart stuff is gets a little much, to babyface yourself using those things on TV within the context of the show. But otherwise, I mean, yeah, very good promo from Cena, very good promo from Heyman. It was, I'll try to think. Was it the highlight of the show? You know what? I'll give it highlight of the show status.
I'm trying to think of what else was on the show to figure out if that was the highlight, but there probably wasn't much better than that, honestly. Well, and I just saw the the opening match there with the cage match with Jericho and Bray Wyatt. But of course, my mind immediately moved to Seth Rollins almost being impaled by the ring when he did his run-in later in the evening.
Oh, that looked scary, but apparently they did stop the cage. That was in today's Wrestling Observer Daily update. That this cage had stopped, so if he didn't get out of there in the nick of time, he would not have been impaled. I was not 100% sure exactly what those things are made out of, if they could pierce through human skin or not. I don't know.
You have enough pressure, and anything will do that.
Oh, right. But man, that's the first time I've ever seen them use those things to actually latch in the cage. I've never noticed that before. I've never noticed it because they never made a big production out of, marching out the production guys on camera. They usually do that, when they're in a commercial break or something, I guess.
That's it. That was kind of funny, because when I was talking to Jeremy earlier today, he said the same thing, and I'm in agreeance. Like, I don't ever remember seeing those before. It would make sense to help keep the cage from bowing too far out when someone gets slammed into it.
Yeah, I don't know if that was the first time those things have ever been used, but yeah, it makes sense. I had no clue what those men were out there doing.
Right.
it was very awkward until I realized, really, until they latched. I'm like, what are those things? Why are there spikes sticking out of the cage? I'm like, oh, okay, now I get it.
Yeah, I understood why there were. Oh, you know what, though? You would have seen them, because they almost always make a production out of lowering that thing now. that you'd always see it from that shot, because they even have that dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun music that they use all the time now for cages being lowered.
That was hilarious when they even made sure to set the music to it as it was lowering unannounced.
Yeah, that wasn't enough of a warning for Seth Rollins to still almost escape impaling himself. Oh man, but I guess back to the opener match. Did that seem like a weak win to you also, or is that just me?
I like the finish. I thought it was creative. I don't think I've ever seen a fight out the door quite like that. So, I mean, I liked it from that perspective, and the match was good. But I guess no, it was not a dominant win for Bray Wyatt, who is completely treading water at this point with absolutely no direction.
I mean, and that's the only thing that I was just like, okay, this should be Jericho's last appearance, I would imagine. Although I think he's in through Night of Champions or the Monday after that.
Tonight, a main event. It wasn't out. It is Orton versus Jericho. It's an official match at Night of Champions. As is Reigns versus Rollins. Those two matches are official.
Oh, okay. I did see that some new matches got added. I did not pay attention. that's cool enough. I guess Randy Orton will get a nice little win or something before Jericho takes off. Oh, man.
And boy, is Jericho gonna leave after giving an up-and-cover the rub there.
Man. It's crazy. I really like his podcast a lot.
You can't have Batista and Triple H on back-to-back every week, but yeah, he's definitely getting the good guests, and he's a good interviewer. Oh man, but that first 20-minute monologue, it is insufferable.
Oh, Jeremy said, because I don't know what it was, I always sat there and listened to it, and then Jeremy's like, I just fast-forward past that, and I'm like, I am such an idiot for not doing this before. Like, I don't know why I felt the need to sit there and listen to that first 10 to 20 minutes of his podcast. Just like, oh, just blow through it, man. Just such a dumb thing not to think about. Such a dumb thing not to think about.
But it is still better than listening to JR ramble on about time limits and clenched fists.
Oh,
for half an hour.
See, yeah, between you and Jeremy, I've just had no reason to tune into that.
Oh, no.
And Austin, I like Austin a good deal, but his shilling for products is even worse than Jericho's, I feel like.
What? Whoa, now.
Considering they're on the same network, I would guess it's the exact same amount of commercials.
It's probably the same amount, but wow. Sometimes I think Austin's read-throughs of commercials are sometimes better than his actual show. You haven't heard his cougar life yet, then, have you?
I don't think I heard his cougar life ad.
That's pretty good.
Okie dokie, I'll have to seek that one, because yeah, I don't really listen to his on a regular basis. Jericho, what? Yeah, I know Jericho hasn't had. It just seems like he has more wrestling people on, I guess. Because he also had Heyman on about a month or two ago, didn't he?
Yeah, he did the trio show with Heyman and Edge, which is really, really cool. It's the first time that Heyman ever... The first time that, it was the first time he ever told the studio the story of his life at Studio 54, that has now been beaten to death ever since.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was interesting then, at least. I didn't realize it's been beaten to death since, but it was pretty cool to hear.
It is pretty cool to hear. I mean, on the most recent one he did with Austin, he went into a little more, even probably more detail about it.
Oh, okay.
And especially the show he promoted there. And pretty interesting stuff about the debut of Bam Bam Bigelow.
Oh, okay. Gotcha,
yeah. That he orchestrated it at Studio 54.
Yeah, I have not listened to that one. I'll have to maybe give that a chance tomorrow. Okay, back to Raw, I suppose. Yeah, okay. I don't think there's anything more needs to be done with Jericho though. Oh my gosh! Like, I'm just looking at this stuff and. Wow. Oh, well, okay, this did interest me. The NXT guys on Raw. So when does NXT become SmackDown Light? I don't know. I mean, do you think that anything like that would happen, or are they going to be able to keep the separation, I guess, between the products?
Seems like it was just a one-week thing to promote TakeOver on Thursday, but I don't know. We will see. I mean, it was definitely interesting to bring three guys onto Raw for the first time cold. Luckily, they were in the Northeast, and got a decent enough reception.
Yeah, the Olays started before the match even did, so that's that was a good sign for Sami Zayn.
Yeah, it definitely a good sign for Sami Zayn. Neville's offense got over really well. So yeah, I would say that segment was definitely a success. When I think if they tried it in a lot of different cities in America, it would have died a death.
Yeah, I think it did help that everyone involved seems to know how to wrestle pretty well. So when you present yourself well, it'll help out.
I guess one of my issues with NXT is they do put, for their main event angles, they do put the good wrestlers with the good wrestlers, the guys who know how to work, but they're just in NXT to work on their promos and their characters. So, the top of NXT has got some really good to great wrestling, but, oh man, when you get to the bottom of NXT, it's just the green guys wrestling the green guys wrestling each other week after week. There are some pretty rough matches there. When you could be spreading the love around a little bit better, I think.
Gotcha. Yeah, it doesn't quite help their development as much as Triple H would like to think.
But we shall see. That I'm definitely going to be watching TakeOver very closely for that reason, because they've got two matches on TakeOver with. Kind of the green guys, wrestling each other on this big stage. So I'm definitely interested to see, how they perform. I mean, if they're working these matches out at every day at the Performance Center on NXT house shows. Basically, is the system that's in place now working? Because if those guys go out there and stink the joint out, then obviously it's not. So I'm definitely watching that very closely, and there's a very, very good chance I will not be making any promises that I will put up a something of a review by Friday morning of the NXT TakeOver show.
Gotcha. I really did enjoy this match quite a bit, even for as little time as it got. I couldn't believe Neville's offense. I guess I haven't really watched NXT that much, so I'm not that familiar. Zane seems to have a pretty similar move set to what he had in ROH, so that isn't as much of a surprise to me. And Tyson Kidd is also a pretty familiar face, despite the fact that he's probably been off the major TV time for quite a while at this point. Three years?
I don't think that Monday Night did him any favors, because he just went out there and wrestled, which he's always been able to do. It's that, you know, he's been in NXT to, you know, he's working on a new heel character that, you know, it's pretty entertaining. He's pretty good with it, but obviously he didn't get to show any of that on Monday, because he was just out there to, you know, basically be a tackling dummy for Neville and Sami Zayn's offense.
Right. Yeah, I was kind of interested. I did like that they were trying to tie in their NXT storylines into the commentary. It's one of the few things that didn't make me want to kill the announcers last night. So that kind of helped, because I guess I didn't realize he had turned on Natalya.
Yeah, but they've also kind of dropped that as well. She has not been on NXT in a few weeks, so, which is pretty disappointing, because they did have a good thing going there. I still find her character insufferable, but this may have actually helped. So now she's back to being completely insufferable to me.
Gotcha. Yeah. I'm glad in some ways I had a choice between watching ROH and Total Divas before we started the show here this evening, and I went with ROH just because I didn't feel like dealing with that quite yet.
Oh, she's back to rare form on that show. Let me tell you, I have seen Total Divas, and oh, natty, 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 natty. Oh. But I digress.
Yep. Oh, boy. Okie dokie. Oh, and you know what? This is something that was from SmackDown, and it's just an observation that I have to throw out there, at least. I was watching SmackDown before this, because that's how far behind I was, is that I watched SmackDown after I watched Raw. Mm-hmm. The boardroom that Stephanie McMahon was in, I'm taking that was, excuse me, the WWE's actual boardroom. And I'm just going to...
I actually, you know what? I have not seen SmackDown. I actually... because once I get past the point where I have watched Raw first, I just delete SmackDown from my DVR.
Oh, I don't blame you. Like I said, I did. And they have a very plain Jane, nothing to see here, boardroom. I guess I expected some sort of style, but it was about as bland can get.
I imagine that for those segments that they use, because I believe Stephanie would still be on the road on a SmackDown Tuesday with Triple H and her father. So I assume that for segments like that, they use like the coach's office or what have you.
Oh, well, they had a, well, I guess you could put the WWE symbol on any TV. So it is quite possible that it was in the arena, maybe, or something like that, like the press conference room.
Right.
So, yeah, like I said, I wasn't sure, honestly, if it was WWE headquarters or not. I mean, you could put that sign up there, and I still might not believe you. I mean... There's no reason to just automatically believe a wrestling promotion.
Yeah, no, and I have not seen it, so I really cannot comment.
They are, for whatever reason, continuing to beat over the head this Bella angle.
Oh, okay, yes, we are to the main event of of this show here, then. You know what? After the dad said, "Please help us, Jerry," I completely turned around on this whole thing. I mean, it's now become very obvious that, you know, Bunna Murray, whoever, they are forcing this feud on WWE, and everyone in WWE hates it, so they are just turning now this into the biggest, campiest joke humanly possible. And on that end, I can just point and laugh at it now. it's not meant to be taken seriously, so I'm not going to take it seriously.
Yeah, that's it. It's just, well, and now we have JJ, Bella, getting to...
Well, you did mention that you found the commentary on Raw largely horrible. Well, I think JBL may redeemed himself for the night, if not maybe the last month when he said when JJ went down and Cole said JJ goes down, and JBL was, "Who cares?" Just really, who cares?
Yeah, well, he got a lot right about him, because I don't even remember that one. I just typed down the lines, JJ gets entrance music, which was outstanding. Then he goes, "I have no idea." After pausing for quite a while, he just says, "I have no idea what to say," which is exactly what you should say.
Exactly. Oh, man. Oh, and that suit he was wearing. Oh, my God. Loafers with no socks. Oh. Ugh. Wow.
Yep. I guess it's still one of those things that... I guess if I'm the production company foisting this on them, I still try to find some way to make this more entertaining. Like, give them writers... or give them money, something. I don't care. It's just not good.
I call it perversely entertaining, but never good. Yeah,
commercially entertaining.
I mean, for God's sakes, they mirrored Springer's show completely. Like they literally turned that into an episode of Jerry Springer.
Yeah, my favorite thing that I ever did with that I ever had the it, that involved Jerry Springer for me was when I went to go see have you ever heard of the band GWAR?
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Okay, yeah, they put on just this ridiculous show, and it's honestly, even if you don't like their music, it's worth just going to see the show because it's completely over the top. And Jerry Springer was there filming, and he ended up getting eaten by a giant maggot on stage.
That would be cool to see.
So that was pretty amusing, because that was just the other part of this whole thing. I'm just like, okay, I remember Jerry Springer, but again... we're talking about a PG audience, and you're going for the kids. The kids aren't going to know Jerry, but...
I mean, he's still on.
But isn't he selling, like, luggage on the Game Show Network or something?
No. I believe that there is still a Jerry Springer show on somewhere, sometime during the day, even to this day.
Oh. I need to look this up.
Yeah, I know. I'm pretty sure he's still on. It might be at 2 o'clock in the morning, but I'm pretty sure the Jerry Springer show is still on.
Oh man. Oh dear Lord, it still is on. Oh, okay. Well, whatever. I guess maybe the kids will know it. But I don't know if the kids would really watch Jerry Springer to start with.
Right. No. I mean, it was a hokey bad skit. I feel bad for the people involved here. I mean, I almost feel the worst for, you know, the family having to actually be trotted out on TV. The dad, especially since has been legitimately estranged, that he has to play in this.
Oh man, yeah, you've just got to wonder. Just like always, money does a whole lot of talking.
Oh yeah, it absolutely does.
Oh, so I can't say that I'm fully surprised by this occurrence.
But I guess the question is, where does this go? Because as of right now, the Divas title match at Night of Champions is a triple threat without Brie in the match. So I mean, is Nikki walking out with the title belt so that they can go to Nikki versus Brie one-on-one for the title and leave AJ and Paige in the dust?
Well, I'm not too worried. The other two are going to keep people entertained.
Right, I mean, I'm just trying to figure out, like how far they take this Bella's feud. I mean, you know, next month is Hell in a Cell. Oh. Can you imagine? You know what? From a perverse standpoint, I'd absolutely pay to see that. See the Bellas versus Bella in the Cell.
For those of you at home, I can't do anything other than shake my head right now. Just in disgust and kind of, unfortunately, mutual amusement that I would sit there and go, oh, how bad is this train? Like, it's one of those train wrecks you just couldn't look away from.
I mean, they've never done a woman's cell match before. Although they did once throw out a women's cage match between... Crap, Lita and Victoria, wasn't it? Years and years ago, like, on an episode of Raw, on a Raw Roulette, I think.
Yeah, I definitely remember Lita being in it. I'm not sure who she was wrestling.
Yeah. First ever women's cage match on Raw. Just it's part of a random wheel selection. That was best for business.
Oh, man. Well, best for business would be moving on along here. So, I'm just going to go ahead and do that, because you were talking about the main event, and I do think that that is really about the only thing else that's left on this show, honestly.
Yep, another...
Oh!
Oh, no. What do we have to talk about now?
Well, I just forgot, just because I felt like a dumbass. This is another thing that Jeremy and I were talking about, and... has there been any real, or how much speculation has there been on who the bunny is?
Oh, man. I've heard a few names. I've heard that Zack Ryder has been named, although the bunny's got quite the moveset, actually. I mean, Today, you didn't see it, but tonight on main event, he hits Heath Slater with an Inzaghi, so. I don't know exactly who it'll be. I've seen Darren Young mentioned as a possibility, someone from NXT. Although I think if you're gonna do the removal of the mask, people should recognize who the bunny is.
Right.
Although with that Adam Rose entourage for the last two nights, at least former TNA Knockout Rosita got a payday.
Oh. Yeah, I was not paying attention to that. But Jeremy was the one that brought up to me Darren Young. I'm like, that would make the most sense since he's fucking with Titus O'Neil's new team.
You know what? That does make sense. I wasn't even thinking that angle because, that's how much Darren Young and Titus. I remember Darren Young and Titus O'Neil as a team. or their brief breakup and feud.
Yeah, well, it really wasn't much of a feud. It was more of an ass-kicking by Titus O'Neil.
Right, because they were very serious about pushing Titus O'Neil for about 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, that is about the right length of time that he was pushed. So, that was just one of those kind of interesting side notes. I don't think that really needs to be talked about that much. It's going to be what it's going to be there.
Right. I mean, they're going to get probably one tag match out of it. If I had to guess, Night of Champions pre-show, you might as well do it. Although before the unmasking, he does need to wrestle one full match in the bunny costume. I do say that.
Oh, that would be pretty funny. I would pay $9.99 a month to watch that.
Yeah, I indeed would. I mean, and God bless Heath Slater. That man is 100% into his character in the moment every time he is out there.
I love him. He kills me. Like he could be my favorite all time jobber already. I think someone is finally beating out SD Jones.
Really? I'm more of an Iron Mike Sharp man myself.
Oh man. I could have gone with Coco Beware, I suppose.
Oh, he wasn't necessary. He was more of a jobber to the stars. He beat the jobbers himself, but then he lost everyone else.
Yeah. That is true. And I don't know. I guess Barry Horowitz would be the other one to come from that line, honestly, because I really wasn't that big of a Brooklyn Brawler fan.
No, you know what? I think I grew my appreciation for the the Brawler was more ended up more of the running joke through the years. Like when I believe Austin needed a tag team part, was teaming with The Undertaker, but The Undertaker was threatening not to show up into the arena. So Vince said, if The Undertaker does not appear tonight, I am going to have a suitable replacement team with Stone Cold Steve Austin in the main event, the Brooklyn Brawler. that was a pretty great moment, and just... He did beat Triple H, too.
No. To me, he is a little bit more of a recurring joke. I definitely remember him from the day, but if I went with a couple of jobbers, I definitely liked Special Delivery and Barry Horowitz were probably my boys in that department.
I was also a big Dwayne Gill fan. Not as much on the Gilbert though.
Oh man. Well, there definitely were not any jobbers involved in the main event.
Oh yeah, that's right. We haven't even talked about that yet.
Yeah, I sidetracked us a little bit when I saw the bunny part. So yeah, I don't know. The main event happened. There are six people there.
Six.
Was there six? Oh no, shit. I'm splitting the difference between the 10 man on SmackDown and the one-on-one competition here on Raw. That's what I'll go with.
All right.
Oh, or I just might be tired and really need to sleep.
But no, you know, Orton and Reigns, they had a good match. Not a great match. You know, a very long TV match. Orton got in at least two long chin lock segments. which, you know, not like that it isn't understandable in that situation, but you know, once again, everything, you know, worked out. You know, they worked to a good finish, and of course, the post match beatdown was well done, with also Reigns getting his brief comeback before finally being thwarted.
Okay, so that I guess that was the part that I did miss. Since I couldn't believe that they felt like this was a long enough a good enough feud to have this run over. It's just like, oh, come on, people. Again, I taped 5 minutes late. It shouldn't run that far over. Like, it doesn't give me that real sports feel, and that I feel like I should be, you know, recording an extra half an hour after a time slot to get the end of the game.
Well, at this point, you should learn by now that to set it every week to go to about at least 11:15.
Yeah, I really should bump it up an extra 5 minutes so that I stop my bitching, but I don't care. I want to keep on bitching.
That's your right as an American.
But, now that I remember which match this actually was, it was a solid match. Orton does well with other people. Reigns really is not a slouch in the ring. I don't think anyone has really complained about his in-ring performances to this point.
No. Not at all. He's on his way. He's the project. I don't know if he'll be ready by WrestleMania, but I mean, obviously, I mean, all the tools are there.
Right. And he does seem to be getting at least marginally better on the mic. He's not great, but he seems to be improving somewhat. And it is just always smart that they're keeping his stuff pretty short. They're not giving him 5 minutes there to try and hang himself.
No. And his character absolutely should not be out there for that long. Speaking.
Ugh. Well, I don't know. I don't have anything else to say, and I am kind of running out of gasso here.
Yeah, same thing over here.
So, yeah, at Stunt Granny, at Chris Calamedia, at DeFrango11, at Granny Maze, at Stunt Dusty. Eric does still exist, and hopefully, actually, right now, there is also being recorded we watch stuff. I don't know which number they're on, but with any luck, one of those is being recorded or has been recorded this evening. So hopefully we'll get double audio goodness tomorrow.
Two audio Wednesday? Wow. That'll be great for all of our listeners' commutes from work, more likely than to work.
This is definitely not getting posted before anyone goes to work tomorrow. Yeah, Wednesday afternoon sometime. That's pretty reasonable.
Absolutely, sounds good to me.